and, you know, maybe a golden halo and real handsome looking. And that is not a good picture of Jesus. I hate to break it to you, but Jesus was a Jew. He wasn't a European white dude. And if we read the scriptures, it says that there was nothing about him that would draw us to him. His physical appearance wasn't like Apollo. You know, it was just a guy. He was just Jesus, normal and average. So I found one that you really couldn't see Jesus except like this. So that's our triumphant entry picture. Isn't it great? But what we're going to be talking about is today is how Jesus is worthy of praise. And so if you've got your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. And we're going to read this starting in verse 28 and down through verse 40. When he had said these things, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. When he drew up near Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the ground. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" Now, that's a pretty incredible story. And we're going to take a look at it today. And we're going to start with the pretty obvious. These things are fairly blatant. You can pick them up out of the reading fairly easily. And then we're going to step back into the not quite so obvious. So just bear with me as we go through this. The first thing, directly from the reading, there are three reasons why Jesus is worthy of praise. And the first one is, he's God, and he's all-knowing. Just take a look at this. He said, after he went on ahead going to Jerusalem, and when he drew near Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples. Now, just follow along here. He told two of his disciples to go, saying, "Go into the village in front of you." They were not in the village yet. They were down the road a piece. He says, "You two go into the village, where on entering it, you will find a colt tied." And just stop for a minute. We've read this story how many times? A lot, right? But have you ever stopped to think, how did he know the colt was there? I mean, let's be honest. He's outside of town. How did he know that once you get into town, you're going to see a colt? I know. He had a drone flying, and he could see. Oh, look right there. But then read on, because it totally disproves the drone theory. Because he says, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you'll find a colt on which no one has ever sat." How do you know that? I mean, let's be honest. How do you know that this colt has never been sat upon? Could you look at a colt standing there tied at a hitching rail and go, Well, that one's never been ridden in its entire life. I mean, you could say that, but you'd just be taking a shot in the dark. But see, Jesus is God. And because he's God, he doesn't need a drone. He doesn't need a signed affidavit, this colt's never been ridden. He knows. When you're reading through it, you're just kind of like, okay, they're going to go in there, they're going to find this. But when you stop for a moment and go, wait a minute, how did he know that there would be a colt, and how did he know that it would be unridden? And the only answer is, anybody? He's God! Okay? And so he's all-knowing. Yeah, that's all right. And just in case you're wondering, I know some of you are scratching your head, God is worthy of praise. Just throwing it out there, something for you to think about. Just keep that in mind. Reason number two that Jesus is worthy of praise is that he is Lord of all creation. Pick it up with me back in verse 31. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Say this, the Lord has need of it. Do you guys, I know some of you know, one of my favorite Bible stories, and by Bible story I mean one of my favorite historically accurate records that you can read in the Bible is the cursing of the fig tree, where Jesus is, he's feeling a bit peckish today. He's walking down the road, and he's like, I'm hungry. And he sees a fig tree, and he walks over to the fig tree, and there's no figs. And he's the Lord of creation. He is supreme. That fig tree should have seen Jesus coming and went, boop, here's a fig. And because it didn't, he cursed it, and it was done. You see, he is Lord, the Lord. And look what it says. The Lord has need of it, right? So those who were sent away went, they found it, and they brought it back. And verse 35, they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it, and as he rode along. Now, how many of you own horses? Anybody? Nobody owns? How many of you have ever tried to ride a horse? How many of you have been kicked off a horse? Okay. How many of you ever tried to ride a horse that had never been ridden before? It's not a lot of fun. I'm just going to put that out to you. They don't like it. That's why there was people that make their living breaking horses. And here's a colt that has never been ridden before. Do you get the picture of Jesus out there with his cowboy hat and his spurs trying to ride the colt? Yeehaw! Or do you get the fact that the Lord showed up and the beast said, yes, Lord, here we go. You see, he's Lord of creation. And he is worthy of being honored. And then there's one more dramatic evidence of Christ being worthy of praise. He is able. He is full of power. So in your mind, Jesus and his disciples, they're coming to Jerusalem. And he gets to a point, and he stops. He says, you two, head into town, grab the colt, bring it here. And he waits for them. Now here's a man who has spent the last 3 years walking around Jerusalem with his disciples, and everywhere he's gone, he's walked with them and he's taught them, or sat in the boat, whatever, but he traveled with them. Today, he's drawing a line. I am here, and I will proceed from this point only if I ride on the donkey. Which is a complete change. There is something that is happening today. There's something different about today. Now, you and I, we know the answer. What's happening? He's going into Jerusalem, where in a week he's going to pay the penalty for humanity's sins. But we know that's what's going on. But this is him stopping being Joe Jesus, and this is him presenting himself as Lord and Messiah, to the community. And he's going to do it riding on this donkey. We'll see why in a minute, but that's what he's going to do. And look what happens as he's, I mean, this is different. This isn't normal. He's been to Jerusalem with his disciples two other times. He's been up and down the countryside with them many times. This is the only time we know of that he stopped and made a point about how he was going to Jerusalem. And look what happens. Verse 34, and they said, the Lord, they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the ground. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. You see, he'd done many miracles. Somebody give me a miracle. What was one of the miracles Jesus did?
Water into wine.
Water, we got to talk, you know. Water into wine. What else? Opening blind man's eyes. The loaves and the fishes. Raising the dead. Walking on the water. Calming the water. I mean, he did many, many miracles. Things that had never been done before. Things that if you were there, you would just be astounded by. And all of a sudden, he's drawn this line. And now he's coming riding on this donkey. And they begin to shout praise to Jesus, rehearsing all of the mighty things that he has done. This isn't just Jesus, I'm tired. Somebody got a ride for me. I don't want to walk up the hill. I'm tired. That's not what's going on. This is a procession. This is something that is big. This is unique in his earthly history. And he's going up and people are beginning to celebrate and rejoice and just make a scene to such a point that the Pharisees are like, children, tone it down. And what does he say? The very rocks would cry out. We started off singing Hosanna. We started off singing King. Today we're worshiping our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is worthy. And we see just in this simple reading of this short little passage of Scripture, three ways that he is more worthy than anybody else. There's no one like God. There is nobody else that has power over creation like he does. And there is nobody else that is filled with power and able to do whatever as he is. But there's more to it. You know, I say he drew a line and he made a spectacle out of his approaching. And I want to talk with you briefly about the significance of Christ's coming, and especially his coming riding on a donkey. Start in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. It's Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew. So if you're at Ezekiel, you went too far. Todd, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Haggai, Zechariah. Found it. For those of you who are looking for it, it's on page 890 in my Bible. I hope that helps you. Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10 reads this way. Oops, it's the other page. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Do you get it? Do you get it? Here Jesus has just spent 3 years, well, 2.5 years up to this point or so, wandering around the countryside of Israel, in and out of Jerusalem, in and out of town, down to Samaria, back up to Galilee, down. And he's been doing these incredible miracles, and everybody's been talking about him. And the Pharisees are against him, and he's presented himself, and the demons have come out and they've cried, Lord, Most High. And now, here he is riding in a donkey. And you don't think they knew Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Can you see why everybody was so excited? You know, at first the disciples, I'm pretty certain, they just went and they got the donkey and they're like, I wonder what Jesus is up to. And then as he began to ride the donkey, I am certain that they began to go, wait a minute, this reminds me of Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice, your king comes bearing salvation. And so what did they begin to do? They began to rejoice. They began to recall all his mighty works. They began to make an uprising. And the Pharisees, who also knew Zechariah, who saw him riding in a donkey, they didn't want that. And they began to oppress him. And in less than a week later, they would have him crucified. He came riding a donkey to fulfill the prophecy. Look what the prophecy says. It says, behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back to this passage. But take a look in Psalm chapter 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Roll over to chapter 33, verse 17. The war horse is a false hope for salvation. And by its great might, it cannot rescue. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. The war horse is an empty hope for salvation. What does it say in Zechariah? Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. Remember, they were under the thumb of the Roman rule. Remember, they were not a free land. They were being oppressed. And many of the people thought that the king would come to deliver them from oppressors, to set them free and establish the Davidic reign again and the power of Solomon. And we will be great again. And they're thinking, behold, here he comes. Humble and mounted on a donkey. You see, Christ did come to bring salvation. But he wasn't coming to bring political salvation. At this time, Christ was coming to bring spiritual salvation, true salvation. He was coming to pay the price for sin so that you and I could have peace with God. He wasn't coming to kick Rome in the teeth. He wasn't coming to lift the nation of Israel up and set it on top of the nations. He was coming to make peace between man and God by being a sacrifice on the cross. And truly, it is worth celebrating. I can't imagine how brutal, how incredibly difficult. To think that he had the power to call down legions upon legions of angels. He didn't even have to call down angels. He could have just spoken. At any point in time, he could have not gone through with it. But he came to pay our penalty so that we could be saved. Truly, he is worthy. But that passage in Zechariah doesn't stop there. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Between verse 9 and verse 10, there is a dramatic shift in language. There is a dramatic change. Look at verse 8. Humble, mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We see Jesus as he was in Jerusalem coming up. He wasn't dominating. He wasn't conquering. He was coming to be the sacrifice. But when we step into verse 10, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. He shall rule. Do you see the shift? He goes from bringing that peace and that salvation between man and God to a moment when he will establish his rule and authority on the earth in power. Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus, conqueror! That's the difference between verse 9 and verse 10. Here I am, send me, I will be the sacrifice. I will establish peace between man and God by shedding my blood for sins that I did not commit. It is finished, and I'm done with sin. Revelations, chapter 19. The difference between what we read in the Gospels of Jesus Christ coming to be sacrificed and what we read at the end of times in Revelation is beyond understanding in our minds. Revelation chapter 19, we're going to pick it up in verse 11. The apostle is receiving a vision from God. And this is the prophecy of things that will be, things that are going to happen. God is giving the apostle a view of what is to come. And he says, write this down for people so that they will know that I've got a plan and that plan is going to be fulfilled. And let me just give you a glimpse of what it's going to look like. And we see a picture of that here starting in verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Throughout the scriptures, when royalty rode donkeys, it was in times of peace. It was a subtle communication of, hey man, I'm here. We're having a good time. But when royalty rode a white horse, it was battle. It was war footing. They might not actively be engaged in swinging the sword, but they were on a war footing. They were ready and preparing for battle. The image of Christ riding on a donkey is that of his willingness to come in humility to lay down his life for us. Just the fact that it mentions white horse instantly puts you in the mind, it's a battle. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron rod. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you get the difference between those two pictures? Here's Jesus coming up to Jerusalem. Wait, this is a big deal. I am coming to provide salvation for all humanity. Get me a donkey. We're fulfilling Scripture. This is the moment. And they ride in. And everybody's going, Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you remember when he did this? Do you remember when he was asleep in the back of the boat and we thought we were going to die and we woke him up and everything? Do you remember that time when Peter walked on the water and it was... Do you remember? And it's a huge celebration. Contrast this to what the prophet saw. Oh my. Oh my. That's an army. That's an army prepared for war. God the Son, clothed in a robe, dipped in blood, riding at the head of the armies of heaven. And you read on. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, come gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both great and small. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who had worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword that comes from the mouth of him who is sitting on the horse. And all the birds gorged on their flesh. It's night and day. I have come to bring salvation. I have come to establish my rule. Today we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ, Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, willingly went to the cross for us. Today we celebrate and we remember that and we rejoice because he made the way for peace between man and God. He provided a means for forgiveness. And we look forward to the day when he will establish his rule on earth. Did you notice how many people the armies of God slaughter? None. You're riding behind Jesus on your white war horse, and you're all getting ready for the big battle, and you see in front of you the mighty armies of men and all their great Napoleons and their great Genghis Khans and all of these great leaders. Obviously, they're dead, but you know what I'm getting at. And all these great leaders and these great armies, and you're thinking, oh boy, here we go, right? And Jesus says, and they're all dead. And you're like, yay, team? Because Jesus took care of it. Just like he took care of our sin problem. Jesus is worthy. And that's what we're here about today. No big spiritual call. No big, you know, repent. I really, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent. He's provided salvation for you. But for those of us who knows the Lord, those of us who have received salvation, Today is not a day of repentance. Today is a day of rejoicing. And so join with us today, and I invite my fellow musicians to come forward. Rejoice with us today as we sing, as we worship, as we honor the Son of God who prepared salvation for you and I. Let's pray.